He is DJ Schweitzer. I'm Jeremy Lance, and we've taken the show on the road, sort of.
I guess we're in a different location.
Yeah, a different location. True.
Where we normally record. In fact, it's the first time
we've
ever recorded in this specific location.
Yeah,
we're coming to you live from the Gotham Soccer HQ. It's a special experience.
It is.
I mostly want Jacob to know, because I'm sitting in his chair and at his desk at the moment, that my kids may or may not have coronavirus, and I've licked your keyboard. So
it's exciting because my kids hung out with your kids last night.
That's right.
I got that going for me as well.
I know, right? So we all get to have a coronavirus party.
That's going to be fun.
I don't think they really have coronavirus. They seem fine. They seem fine.
A little corona, a little COVID-19 ain't going to hurt you.
No, it really won't. We'll get to more of that later on in the show, though, for sure. But hey, new digs for us tonight. This is fun. I like the HQ. You guys got a nice scarf collection going in here.
Yeah. What was the most surprising scarf we have that you've seen here?
Oh, man.
We kind of go all over the road here.
Yeah, I mean, there are a very large assortment of scarves up there.
Yeah, I don't even know how many there is. I have not counted.
I mean, all of them kind of make sense, given where you guys work. I would say, like, the Cosmos one, that would be kind of rare for around here.
Yeah.
But yeah, given that you guys are in a league in New York.
Right.
You know, Gotham, weird.
And quite recently had the Cosmos photographer
as part
of our staff. So.
That's right. That's very true. But what I like most about this room is there's just a plethora of Spurs stuff in the place.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. I know. I'm sorry that you have to look at that every day.
That's fine. I just drink out of this mug, this Chelsea mug from a cup that they won over Spurs.
It's not only a cup that they won. It's the Capital One cup that they won over Spurs.
With Mourinho.
I mean, Mourinho is in the picture, so.
You know, your manager.
He is.
So this is just kind of my subtle way of just pushing back against the fact that I work with two Spurs fans.
You got to get a flag up here or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, we got
a scarf. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like the first scarf I've ever owned. Was that one?
Historic.
Like an old school Adidas scarf.
I mean, when you're buying literally Adidas or Nike scarves, you know that's the early stage of your fandom. Before you figured out that you could get like scarves for them for cheaper from not directly from the club shop.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think I bought that one when I saw them in, was that 2007 at the All-Star Game in Chicago?
Yeah.
I think I bought it then.
I was there. I was there.
It's good times.
In spirit. It was good times. Let's get into the show.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot, obviously, to talk about.
Premier League, COVID-19, MLS.
Yeah. If you didn't know, this is actually a show that's partially about soccer and partially about microbiology.
Yeah. Coronavirus, or if you like to pronounce it like I do, coronavirus.
What? I don't really – do I need to know why you pronounce it that way?
You know, just because I don't want people at Corona just getting a bad rap.
Yeah. You know that's that meme that's been doing the rounds where, like, you know, 50% of Americans won't drink Corona now because – they're stupid. That's fake.
I assumed it was fake.
I mean, it seemed like a really
high
percentage.
I assumed it was 50% of Americans won't drink Corona because it's just terrible.
Oh, man.
It's just a bad beer.
Really? You know, not enjoy
if
a Corona?
If I'm on the beach, if I'm
on the water,
feeling that vibe.
Yeah, if you're
sure.
It's a watery day, right, where you're at the pool or at a lake.
But honestly, I'll just, you know, a Tecate is cheaper and, like, just as good.
So I'm not going to argue with
it's
you.
It's got that cool bird logo.
I mean,
it's a better beer. And by better, I mean cheaper.
Yeah.
And by beer, I mean mostly water.
Well, that's true. Well, we are not the coronavirus of podcasts.
No. Well, we'll see.
Yeah, that's
true.
You
have to be determined.
We're not spreading like coronavirus, that's for sure.
Something that is not also spreading is the enjoyment of our fantasy updates.
No, this was mostly miserable for both of us.
Yeah.
Until the MLS League. You had yourself a week in the MLS League. Yeah.
I tried to.
Yeah, every once in a while. Let's start with the Premier League, though, because we both sucked in that. Mike DiPietro, still on top his Dignies list. 9 straight shows. He's got like a 70-point gap up there. It's starting to feel a little Liverpool-esque. the distance between him and second place. So
did you say you knew this guy or did?
I don't know him now, but he's now a Twitter follower. I think he listens to the show.
We still got to find out if he's related to Mark DiPietro, the old Islanders goaltender.
All right.
That got one of the most front-loaded, crazy NHL contracts of all time.
I thought you were talking about the Harrisburg City Islanders.
No.
Okay.
No.
My bad.
New York Islanders.
Okay. Well, Mike, if you're related to the NHL goalkeeper, not the Harrisburg City Islanders goalkeeper, definitely let us know about that. I fell 5 places to 53rd. You fell 1 place to 102nd.
Attaboy.
Yeah, good work. Over the MLS League, you guys can still join this one as well. These are open, both of them.
Do it.
Monthly chances to win free added time Outfitters wristbands if you have the highest point total in the league. Leader, second week in a row, Reed Connolly's MLS Fantasy Boss, still on top. I fell 7 places to 35th. I'm like 4 off the bottom right now.
Okay, that's
you improved 18 places. Oof. 18 fake places. You had I was looking at your points. You had a massive haul.
I mean, who did it for me? I have a lot of attacking options.
Yeah. You did well in the forward and midfield areas. I can't remember specifically.
Yeah, I stacked those pretty good.
You did well. You're now in 4th place in that league.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I know, right? That's qualifying for the Champions League at this point.
About to give me a wristband.
Ooh, you might. You might with the week that you turn in there. There's your fantasy updates. Again, join the leagues if you want an opportunity monthly to win an added time Outfitters wristband of your choosing. MLS wristbands are on our way to us at this point. By the time you're listening to this. So we'll have some new ones up on the website for you to check out. Let's get into the actual football because no one cares about fantasy.
Liverpool got back to winning ways.
How often do you think we've led off the main portion of the show
with Liverpool this season?
Yeah. We still get a rap for not actually liking this team.
Well, I mean, we don't like the general concept of the team.
Yeah, like them being better than our team.
Right.
Sucks.
We don't like that part.
Mm-hmm.
But, their players are all likable.
Yeah.
Klopp is literally the most likable human of our time.
Sure.
Think of Klopp as president.
Would you vote for Klopp?
I would vote for Klopp. I would go Chicago style. I'd vote twice for Klopp.
Oh, that sounds great. I mean, we would have to have some sort of constitutional amendment for that to be possible.
No. I mean, if we're going to make an exception for someone,
may as well
Klopp
be
seems
Klopp.
Like a guy to do it, too.
He would be a joy in press conferences.
Yeah.
We've got an outbreak of COVID-19. It's going to be fine. I'm not an expert in it. He literally was saying this.
He got questioned about, hey, what are you doing? Which, I mean, we'll get to that in my wankers portion of, hey, what are, athletes that have their vitals, monitored, hawks, doing to prevent getting COVID-19.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get to that. But, he was asked, hey, what are you doing about that? He's like, I'm not an expert on that. I have no idea. I listen to the people that seem like they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
And that advice that they're giving us is what we go with. That might be. I can't answer that.
That would be a refreshing take from your president at this point. So, Klopp 2020.
I mean,
who's he picking as his running
mate? Was that the 17th? I'll go write him in.
Yeah. Why not?
I'll go write him in on March 17th.
Excuse me, sir. Who is this? It's a German man. It's a German man.
This man you wrote in, are those umlauts on his name? Yes, they are.
They are, yeah. Expel him.
Sir, you're not allowed to vote ever again.
But seriously, this Liverpool side is too good for us to not continue to talk about. Despite their recent dip in form, they're now back to winning ways.
Back to winning ways. And again, they didn't even need to be back into that winning of ways. Because even with this little purple patch that they had, which was luckily for them mostly in other competitions and then just that one Premier League match against Watford. They're still now with this win 6 points away from clinching.
Yeah. I mean, all they need are 2 more victories.
And, City plays at the midweek. If City drops, if they lose that match,
then their target's even closer.
Then they can win it next weekend.
Yeah. They grind out another win here. I wouldn't say they were exceptionally better. They probably should have
come from behind against old Bournemouth.
Yeah. But, I mean, this is something that we've seen them do time and time again this year. So it's not particularly surprising that we've seen them do it once again. 22 straight home victories now for Liverpool.
Seems like a lot.
It is. It's actually the most ever in English top flight history.
Okay.
So,
how many total wins?
A lot. I don't know. I didn't
know. I know it's not 30.
No, it's not.
No.
That's what they're trying to get to.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
And see if they can pull it off. But they're now, literally, their hands are on the cup.
Yeah. We always say, like, we have one hand on the trophy.
Mm-hmm.
They have, like, one hand and then, like, most of their second hand.
Yeah, like, they just haven't closed their grip.
Like they got, like, kind of chopstick style, like, index finger, middle finger, and thumb.
Yeah.
And then they just got to get those other two.
Almost there.
Pinky and ring finger.
Almost there. Part of the reason why they are so much closer to gripping that pinky onto the actual handles of those cups is because Manchester City fell flat on their face in the Manchester Derby.
Yeah, let's move to that. Manchester Derby. And freaking Ole just did the double on City.
What is this world? What is happening? Liverpool are running away with the title. It's been like 100 years since they've won a league title.
Yeah.
Manchester City, the world's most expensively assembled side ever, like, can't even trip up against a United side that, granted, is looking better and improved. Playing,
yeah, and I guess that was my other question. Like, United are only 3 points off of fourth place.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, not all of the where they stand in the table is their own doing. There's other teams that we'll get to later who are not doing as well. Like, are they back? Like, are they back? Are they back on track, I guess I should say.
Well, I mean,
like, they're not back to, like, you know,
where they were.
Yeah, winning the league by 20 points or anything like that.
No. But I don't know that I'm prepared to say that they're back, but I do think they're a couple signings away from being good again.
Yeah.
Like a truly good team. It's weird, too, because, like, I don't know that anyone universally is like, Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, great manager.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, like, that guy knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And are they doing this in spite of him? Are they doing it because of him? It feels so unclear as to why they've improved.
Yeah.
And is it just because, like, they've signed Bruno Fernandes and he's been fantastic?
By the way, like, Bruno Fernandes is the type of signing that United should be doing on the regular.
Yeah.
And, like, literally have made, like, a million signings in the past couple years that have not been this great, have cost them a lot of money, and finally they've made one that you're like, oh yeah, that's the type of player that United's supposed to be signing.
Well, I mean, you every transfer window back in the 90s and early 2000s, like, you'd be like, who's United going to roll in this? Oh, that really good Dutch striker, you know, fantastic, just what they needed. And it was just one of those types of things that every time they signed him, you're like, it'd be nice if my team could get a sniff at a player like that.
Yeah,
And they kind of fell off that perch for a while, but now they seem to be putting some of these pieces back together. So I don't know that I'm prepared to say that they're back, but they did look particularly good in this match. And I think it's highly ironic that we're sitting here talking about Ole getting this big win and the Derby doing the double. Literally, in some of the pre-match comments from Guardiola, he was talking about, like, he's amazed by their decline, and he would have never expected them to be so far behind where City had been the last couple of years mathematically, and then here Ole goes and gets, you know, a double over him.
But so, like, just, yeah.
I hear
that's weird comments, though, from Guardiola, because, like, since he's been in the Premier League, like, United have not been really much of a threat.
Well, that's
decline has been a thing pretty much his entire tenure in the Premier League, right?
I think what he was trying to belay was that they hadn't been back to the perch that they'd been on, or at least closer to where they'd been. Because I think we'd all admit that with a club with United's resources, I think we all would have thought they would have been better than they are currently, right? And especially over the last few years.
Yeah.
I think we're all fine that they've not been,
right,
unless you're a United fan.
I mean, yeah.
But you do kind of get that perspective. But this is a big win for United, too. It puts them right back in the Champions League hunt. They now find themselves sitting in fifth place,
which is maybe a Champions League spot, thanks to City?
Yeah. I mean, City were like, well, whatever. It doesn't really matter where we finish at this point.
When is that actually going to be announced?
Like, I mean,
that's a spot.
I know they've appealed to the Court of Arbitration.
But you got to – I mean, that's not going to drag out into the summer and then, like, whoever finishes fifth is like – in July finds out, like, oh, sweet, we are a Champions League team.
Great,
we have a qualifying match.
We should have spent a bunch of money. I mean, we're talking about the clubs that are in those positions,
right,
generally, or clubs that be spending and trying to strengthen anyway.
But, like, what if it is, like, a Sheffield United that slips in there? I mean, they're in the hunt. They're around there. What if it is a Wolves? That would kind of not be great for them.
I mean, I think they'd take the Champions League revenue over not the Champions League revenue.
Right, no, they'll take the money.
Yeah.
Let's whip around the Premier League. Let's start with Spurs.
Do we have to?
Yes. Yes, we do.
Damn it.
We have to start with Spurs drawing with Burnley. Coming back to draw Burnley.
It was at Burnley, so, you know, at least I've got that going for me, right?
Vaunted that place.
Yeah, right. I mean, I'm just trying to look for any sort of excuse to make this seem like that was an expected outcome. It wasn't. It's pretty. It's kind of a sign of where Spurs kind of are at the moment.
Look, a lot was said about the lineup. I mean, obviously, you are without your two main scoring threats. Like, what lineups are going to be goofy here for a while for you guys?
Yeah.
And that was certainly the case.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone like three matches in a row now with Bergwijn playing as a false nine, and he's done admirably, but, like, you either want a striker who knows how to run a false nine,
right,
or, like, an actual striker in general up there running a proper nine.
Why didn't you guys get a striker in the window? Like, just even, like, anybody on the – like, anybody at this point would be an improvement, right? Because at least it's a striker option.
I mean, we don't even have a true backup striker. Son kind of is our built-in backup striker.
Yeah, he made it work, but you don't have that now either.
No, we don't. It's because that's what Spurs do. We don't really spend money. We're mostly trying to deal with stadium debt and training ground debt and
also fun.
You know, all the things that are necessary to hopefully someday be a big time spender in the league.
I mean, you got that big Wanyama money. Oh wait, no, that was a free.
Yeah. We also have Troy Parrott, who's a young up and coming 18-year-old, who Mourinho repetitively keeps stressing, like, hey, we're not gonna put this kid into the fire. And then they, like, threw him into the fire in the FA Cup this past weekend.
And did he get burned alive?
He did all right as a second-half substitute, but then he had his penalty saved. So, in the shootout, loss to Norwich.
Norwich.
So, it's just been that type of week where literally we're getting beat up by the basement and lower clubs
Norwich
in the league.
And Burnley.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, Burnley have improved of late, but it's really
Norwich
disheartening.
Not.
No, Norwich have continued to be trash.
Where's the temp check for you guys? Like, are you just trying to just run out the clock on this season?
If someone was like, we're canceling the rest of the season because of COVID-19, I would be like,
sweet.
Sounds good. And we'd be sitting outside the Champions League places right now, and that is what it is. But I just, like, I tweeted this before the match this weekend. Like, well, how are Spurs going to let me down today? And, like, 11 minutes in, we're down to Burnley. And it's just kind of like...
It's good times.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll probably enjoy this as a former Mourinho devotee.
Mm-hmm.
He had his first official, I'm throwing a Spurs player under the bus moment.
I did like that.
Yeah?
Like, there it is.
It was a classic Jose.
I'm waiting on that one.
Didn't name the player, but you, like, because of what he said, you knew who the player was. Specifically, he talked about how he thought Skip had a good game. He's another young Spurs player that's cracked into the first team. And then went on to say the other midfielder. There's really only one other midfielder, and that was Ndombele. And Ndombele.
Didn't have good words to say about him?
No, he pretty much questioned his work ethic and his commitment, and this is literally the Spurs record signing. So
exciting.
Yeah, it's exciting times ahead. Just kind of, if you want a temp check, that's my temp check. Like, Mourinho's throwing people under the bus.
It's that time.
So, what's COVID-19 this season already?
It's year three, Jose. 3 months in.
Great. Just what I was waiting for. It's going to be a fun summer.
Yeah, I can't wait. Let's move around to other matches on Saturday.
Okay.
Arsenal get a win. Despite their best efforts, they actually win this match. Lacazette getting a goal. Just another match where Arsenal gets the job done, but you're just kind of like, geez.
Yeah, I mean, this is another one where you probably would have expected.
It was a frustrating one. If you were an Arsenal fan, you were super frustrated, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think you would have expected that side. I mean, you could say that about a lot of the results Arsenal have had this year. Like, they should have gotten a better result than they probably did. And they left it late. But it's enough, again, to keep Arsenal in the conversation now for, I mean, a couple of weeks ago, we would have laughed about the prospects of them being in this fight for European places, but they find themselves in the thick of it.
It wasn't too long ago they had 6 wins in the season.
Yeah. And they get a big one. It would have been an extra disappointing one if they had lost a London Derby match to West Ham as well. But they're just 5 points off of 5th, still very much in the hunt for European places.
They are only one of 2 teams, though, in the top 14 places that still are in single-digit wins.
I mean, that's
the other one being Newcastle.
Yeah.
But Newcastle also has a negative 16 goal differential. They sit in 13th place. Chelsea, 4. Mm-hmm. Everton, Nothing.
I appreciate the order you've chosen to bring these up. It was nice that we didn't have to go directly from my team's underperformance to your team's overperformance.
I wanted a buffer there.
So let's talk about the buffer in this game. You guys had a slew of youngsters out there once again, because that's what Chelsea do.
We had three teenagers making Premier League either debuts or first starts.
Yeah. Talk about weird lineup choices. And obviously,
we have a lot of injuries.
Yeah, I mean, you are dealing with a lot at the moment. But it's weird because you look at Spurs' lineup and it had a bunch of like, oh, that's some curious choices and younger players, like whatever. And then the narrative completely switches when we talk about Chelsea. Like, going into this game, I felt like everyone on the pre-match broadcast was like, look, I mean, this is amazing. Like, look at what Chelsea are doing here.
Sure,
it's just a very different.
Sure, their front three have a combined age of 96. But look at all these young guys.
Yeah. And one of them in particular,
Billy Gilmore.
The plaudits have been sung.
Well, I mean, he was the linchpin in our FA Cup win over Liverpool the midweek. And then, earns that start, partially because we literally are running out of human beings to play in the midfield.
Sure.
A lot of injuries. And because he earned it, and he, again, played an exceptional match. Actually, I believe he got man of the match for this one. What ended up being an absolute rout. Everton playing decent as of late. Mm-hmm. Ancelotti coming back to Stamford Bridge. And he's a well-received manager.
Yeah.
By the Chelsea faithful. Received better than other former Chelsea managers currently. Applying their trade in the league.
Oh, are you trying to make reference to anyone in particular?
Nope.
Okay, fair enough.
Nope. Brendan Rodgers, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
When he was part of the staff.
I recall.
Yeah. It was supposed to be kind of a big deal. Everton, under Big Dunk, thrashed Chelsea earlier in the season. But Chelsea had no problems getting through this one. Big win for them to actually just completely handle a team at home. Something they should be doing on the regular, but have done basically never this season.
Sure.
A good win. I mentioned the front three being all a million years old. They all scored. Pedro, Willian, Giroud, all over 30, all getting on the score sheet. And then Mason Mount having a nice one, too.
Yeah, that was a nice goal that he had there. It's kind of weird, like this super young, hyped up roster or 11, and then it's like all the old men who are actually doing
super old dudes up top.
Geriatrics club practically up there.
Yeah.
But you guys did look good. The only thing that Everton really looked good for in this match were those absolutely sexy peach kits. Like,
very,
those are just
very nice.
They had a pre-match top that, like, it was so attractive that I literally,
if I bought this,
I thought about it. I was like, am I gonna buy an Everton like something right now? And the answer was no. Of course not. But
Everton Direct is the website you want to buy that on.
Thanks. So you know. I appreciate the heads up.
Occasionally, I have to buy my brother, you know, Christmas gifts from there.
Okay.
So that's the one you want to go with.
We are not getting paid by Everton Direct for this.
I mean, if they want to give us some credit, I can buy some. Cause I can just stockpile some gifts for my brother.
That'd be hard. We'd take that.
And you'll get that one peach kit.
Okay. I'll take that if that's how it unfolds.
Other matches, Crystal Palace as Watford back up their Liverpool win with a 1-0 loss at Crystal Palace.
Yeah. I mean, that seems about right.
That's
right?
Bad.
I mean, that's
pretty on
back down to earth is probably the best way to explain that.
Much like Norwich, who backed up their defeat of Spurs in the midweek with a 1-0 loss at Sheffield United.
I mean, that's, again,
that's definitely
expected
what
result.
Expect.
Yeah.
And then Newcastle, spending the majority of the match up a man. I think, it's about 62 minutes of this match that had an advantage. They waited all the way to the 79th minute to finally get a goal. They win 1-0. Key match for them as they attempt to avoid slipping into the relegation stage. Again, 9 wins on the season.
Why? I mean, just that's one of those clubs that really just does baffle the mind. I don't feel like we spend enough time.
Like, they still exist? Or
questioning how a club with that many fans and that rich of a history find themselves in this position.
They've turned into, like, you know, we always hear, like, these, like, yo-yo clubs, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this is a very dramatic yo-yo that, like, they go from, like, being top 10 Premier League team to, like, a season or two later getting relegated.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back up.
They always bounce straight back up.
Yeah. And then they have a good season and a bad season. It's a team that, again, it comes down to their ownership. It comes down to that fiasco. And until that changes, this is just going to be Newcastle, right?
Mike Ashley's yo-yo.
Everton Direct, greater than sign, Sports Direct.
Oh, man. Those are claims right there.
Wolves and Brighton played to a 0-0 draw.
Excitement.
Ooh, love it. Mm-hmm. And then I think we got a match tomorrow. Leicester City plays Aston Villa. That game's at 4 p.m. because they have not changed the clocks yet.
Weird.
So
let's talk about things.
It's like a week or two till they do that.
I hate the clock changing.
Yeah.
Like, who is it helping?
It was helping farmers.
But I don't even know that helps farmers anymore, right?
No. Like, how many of those are there anymore?
What century are we living in right now?
Not a one that relies as heavily on farmers. Farmers in this country.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of our farmers that we rely on come from other countries.
It's true. They're not owned by those farmers. They're just worked by those farmers.
Well, I mean, also like farms in other countries.
Well, that's true. Well. Yeah. There's
like most of the produce you get, like 60% of the year,
mm-hmm.
does not come from the U.S.
Oh, yeah. I get that. We still do produce a ton of grain.
We got that going for us.
Corn.
Mm. Iowa.
People are tuning in to this podcast.
Nebraska.
They're learning about stuff that they didn't even think they're going to learn about.
COVID.
Mm-hmm.
COVID-19. Which, by the way, just means coronavirus in the year 2019 is when it was first reported.
Yeah.
That's how it got its name.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Isn't it weird how we like can't just have a single name for it? This feels like ISIS or ISIL. You know, like, people came in and they're like, no, it's ISIL, not ISIS.
And there was just, yeah, that it's whole semantics like,
which
fight.
One is it that we have to use here?
Which one is the bad thing?
I know, right? I just want to know which one I'm supposed to talk about. But yeah, now we also are talking about U.S. farm culture.
Yeah.
You know, things you needed to know.
So that's what farmers get from the government is subsidies and then also clocks
okay.
that work to their advantage. Maybe?
Maybe not. Now we know. But yeah, death to daylight savings is stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm against it.
Yeah.
Well, the worst was actually when I lived in Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was right on the Central Time Zone line. In the winter, like 4:30, it'd be pitch black outside.
Yeah.
At 4:30 in the afternoon, you're like, so you would go to work, sun was not up.
Yeah.
Come back from work, sun is now back down.
Yeah.
You would not see the sun.
When I lived in Indiana, like, they were only on it for part of the year.
Yeah.
Right? Like, most of Indiana didn't change with Eastern Time. And so for part of the year, it would be on Eastern Time. And the other part of the year, it would be on, like, Central Time Zone.
Is there still that one city that's, like, half, like, 50-50? Wasn't that, like, a city that was, like a little town that was, like, half?
Probably.
Half Central, half
probably
Eastern?
I think Mike Pence ran on the, like, not changing the time zone rules from what they currently were. And then when he got into office, he totally flipped. I'm probably getting my Indiana governors wrong here.
Maybe it was a different Pence. Isn't like his brother also
sure
in government there?
Yeah, probably. So.
All right. Well, that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool. We will now break from our time zone / agricultural segment of the podcast and migrate over to Major League Soccer.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
Where do you want to start? A lot of matches. That's generally how Major League Soccer works.
It is really.
There's a lot of
teams. That's one of those things where I like you go to look in FOT Mob.
Yeah.
I don't know if you do this, but I look in FOT Mob
literally
typically,
on it right now.
To start planning my notes for the podcast. And you're like, there are 100 MLS matches every weekend. Like, how many teams are in this league now? Like 57?
Yeah, roughly.
It does make it kind of difficult to follow everything that's in the league when you're kind of trying to digest
it. Well, and there's another thing that we learned about a couple of years ago when we were working in, you know, fourth tier soccer,
mm-hmm.
is that there's like a million, you know, there's a million NPSL teams.
Yep.
There's now there's a million USL teams,
mm-hmm.
and a butt ton of MLS teams.
Yeah.
You know there's not a lot of refs that can manage those games.
Yeah.
Like there's not the surplus of ref, like the amount of refs that can run games at that level, at a pro level,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of pro matches per weekend.
Yeah.
Are not keeping pace.
Yeah. I mean it's like the most thankless job on earth.
Oh,
like
true.
I mean I feel for anyone who puts themselves in those positions, even the guys that were reffing my U-12 girls game today and had to hear me question why the other team didn't have a girl sent off. And the guy literally said,
"Why didn't they have that girl sent off?"
She literally chopped down a girl of ours on a breakaway, and the ref said, "Well, the field's a little uneven." And I don't think she was trying to bring her down. I'm like, it doesn't really matter her intent, like, because it happened. So, but that's refereeing in general.
Yeah.
Is you just, like, the people who are, like, are dedicated enough to do that, like, signed up for a job that they know they're going to get, like, questioned about, they're going to get yelled at. Like, these guys, yeah, they got paid, but, like, they got yelled at by a bunch of moms today. Like, that can't be fun.
That's fun.
And then you get up to these major league levels and you've got, like, all of Twitter on your back. Because you may or may not have given the penalty call that you were supposed to give. And
right.
It's just, I hear your point, but it's also like, you also understand why there isn't a wave of people
right.
that are showing
who's
up
to,
improve this situation.
Who's signing up for this?
But this weekend in MLS and USL to that extent, like there was just some really weird refereeing moments as there tend to be.
Where do you want to start with scores? Do we want to start locally?
Yeah,
Atlanta
I mean,
United 2.
Yeah, why not?
FC Cincinnati 1. Another match where FC Cincinnati did not win this match, but mm-hmm. you don't feel like completely lost as far as the squad goes.
No, I mean it was another match where they showed some improvement and some promise. I think they looked better for most of this game compared to the, I mean, that first 45 minutes and the opener was bad.
Yeah.
And you kind of went, uh-oh.
Uh-oh, hello, this again.
Hello, 2019. and they've had almost, I would feel confident in saying that they've improved every half since then.
Yeah.
But they go to Atlanta kind of in a position where I think a lot of people are like, whoa, if there's a time to get Atlanta,
this is it. They haven't figured out their striker situation.
They started Adam John, formerly of the Columbus Crew.
Formerly of the shushing the Atlanta crowd.
Yeah.
After scoring that penalty in the playoffs.
Amazing roundabout kind of storyline there. But SEC catch them at a time without Joseph Martinez, obviously. And Atlanta definitely did not have the same verve that you're used to seeing them have without Joseph. They do look kind of like psychologically wounded from that experience.
Yep.
But they also very easily sliced open FC Cincinnati for their first goal. Like, it was...
Yeah.
The signs of the defensive deficiencies are still there.
The ability to get shredded by pace by that back line is painful.
I mean, it's a relatively old back line by MLS standards.
Sure.
You know, Wasson at the tail end of his career. Vanderwerf is in his 30s. Garza's getting up there as well. And DePlanta is an older guy too. Yeah.
Had surgery, what, like 100 times now?
Yeah, something along those lines. And it's not to say that these guys aren't all quality players, but it does add up to a group that doesn't have a ton of pace. And they can get exposed by pace.
And if there's one thing, even without Joseph, if there's one thing that Atlanta will throw at you, it's going to be some pace.
Yeah. I mean, Ezequiel Barco literally looked like he was playing a speed faster than most in SC Cincinnati's back line for a good chunk of the night.
Pete Martinez was moving. Even Goofy Emerson Hyman.
Yeah.
Just moving around.
Once promising U.S. prospect.
Hey, he's still mildly promising.
Yeah, that's true.
In that he exists and still has a starting job.
Yeah. For the second straight week, FCC had a DP score, which is...
That's good. We need that.
Kubo. Yeah,
nice
Kubo,
nice little goal.
A really well-taken goal to pull Cincinnati back within one. And make the second half pretty interesting. Denied a what I thought was probably a pretty obvious penalty call.
But I feel like there's a bit of inconsistency as far as like what we're even reviewing now anymore.
Yeah.
Like everyone assumed that was a VAR review and then like Clay got underway super quick.
Yeah.
So it's like, did we really review it? We didn't even want the ref to go look at it. Like,
I think too, we're all like, this is MLS has just gotten back.
Yeah.
And they run their VAR differently than the Premier League does.
They get credit where credit is due. They do the thing that the Premier League needs to be doing, which is they are generally, when there's an actual review taking place, they always go and have the ref go and take a look at it.
Yeah.
Like, that's the one thing they do right, is they get the ref to come like, all right, well, we looked at it. Go over and look at it yourself.
Yeah, and it's weird. I probably made the point last season on the show. Like, I kind of wish that the people in the booth would just overrule the guy in the field. And now I'm totally in your court again. It's like, no, wait a minute. This guy has his pulse on the game.
It's his game, right?
Yeah, like,
it's his game.
Let him go over there and take a look at it. And I think a couple of the decisions that we've seen that have been really weird in the Premier League, I think probably wouldn't have happened if the ref would have looked at him himself.
Right. He just would have walked over to a monitor, gotten a couple replays. You'd think he would go, oh, okay. Now that I see from that way, right, I can make an easy choice. And it's me making the choice. I think when you keep it in their discretion, right? I think you're going to get... I think the refs themselves will probably prefer that more, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they would definitely
prefer that. Yeah, I say it's their game, and that's kind of like a big deal. And even, you know, from running games from like a rec level, like having to tell people like, well, this is that ref's game. So like what he's... His discretion is how this game is being run.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm standing over here. I'm not the ref.
Yeah. And I don't think any ref wants to be overruled.
Yeah,
right?
They don't like want someone other party coming in going, nope, this guy's an idiot.
Yeah.
We're going to clean it up for you, though.
You'd rather be able to make that call
right
on your own, right? But this is what it is in MLS, we'll figure it back out again.
It definitely is what it is. Other matches, DC United getting a win over Inter Miami. Inter Miami scoring in this one. Pizarro getting his first MLS goal.
Yeah, first MLS goal for Miami as a team, too, and they made a big deal about it on Twitter. Small victories when you're an expansion side.
You got to get them where you can.
You absolutely have to.
Other matches, New England-Chicago 1-1 draw. Salt Lake getting the 1-1 draw with the Red Bulls.
Pretty unexpected result.
Yeah. Dallas and Montreal, another draw, 2-2. Toronto getting the better of NYCFC and kind of a matchup of two of the bigger clubs in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah. NYCFC off to two straight losses to start the season, too.
Yeah, it's not great.
Probably not what they were expecting either.
No, and I mean, this is a team that a lot of people have picked to be a Supporters Shield winner. Right. It's early days.
Yeah.
They could be a completely different team in a month.
Another unexpected result. Vancouver getting a surprise 1-0 win at LA Galaxy.
Very surprising win.
Donovan Ricketts actually being the one who scored the goal. Vancouver, many people were predicting to be one of the worst teams in the league this year.
Still kind of predict that.
I mean, it's early.
They still suck.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely still suck, but probably not the result that you would expect given that, the league's most expensive striker plays on the team.
Minnesota. I feel like I went into this season going, how's Minnesota scoring goals? And their answer was in bunches. Yeah. They've scored actually more goals than anyone so far this season. They have 8 goals on the season.
Yeah. 5-2 win at San Jose. Kind of an unexpected result there. At least you just don't see big road victories very often in MLS.
No.
And San Jose getting whomped on their own home pitch isn't probably the most surprising thing either. But this was certainly a bit heftier of a result than you were probably expecting. Aiko Parra with a brace. A brace for Aiko Parra.
Well, I mean, that was one of the things I was thinking more defensively when I said that he needed to have another big year so far.
He's just doing both ends of the pitch. Yeah, it doesn't really much matter. Another big victory this weekend. Sporting KC laying one down on Houston at home.
Julio getting a goal again.
Yeah, 4-0. He's really hit the ground running.
Yep.
Big time striker. This was the piece they were missing
last year. That big scoring threat.
And they certainly are off to a decent start for this season. The Crew getting a big result on the road.
Yeah, going against that draw. Huge. I mean, that's a huge result to get.
Yeah.
I mean, it's early days, but still, like, to go to the defending champs, you're playing, you're the big flight out to Seattle, and to get that early season result.
Yeah, I mean, this was a match, too. A lot of people were calling for it to be postponed, given COVID-19 concerns. And so there's that added kind of stressor that you're facing not only a cross-country flight, but also a potential
going into a hot zone there.
Yeah, right. Don't necessarily want to go to that nursing home. Steer clear of that place. Seems like it's a bad place to go.
But just looking at the season, the way things have started, out east, Atlanta is the only 2-0 team. Out west, you have 3 2-0 teams: Minnesota, Colorado, Sporting Kansas City. Sporting Kansas City, we all thought were going to be good. Minnesota and Colorado being the other two.
Minnesota, you could see, given how they started the season.
Okay.
But Colorado's definitely one where I'm kind of like, what?
How'd you get here?
Yeah, Kai Kamara is how they got there.
And then on the opposite end of that, technically in last place right now, east, is NYCFC.
Yeah.
Of course, they're tied on a lot of things. FC Cincinnati, Inter Miami, all without points, and then out west. Only one team has no points, and it's the team that's not out west. It's the team that's in Nashville.
Yeah.
The team in Central Time Zone. Nashville SC, 0-2 on the season as they went, to Portland and picked up a a second loss. And again, I ask, how are they scoring goals?
Yeah.
The only, like, one of their better chances they had in the match today was the same thing as how they scored last week. It was Walker Zimmerman almost heading one in.
Well, I think defensively they're going to be a decent side. They're going to be organized.
They're going to be what FC Cincinnati was supposed to be last year as far as defensively.
Yeah.
FC Cincinnati was supposed to be this team that was supposed to be very defensive-minded and hold the line and, you know, not concede a lot. That didn't happen. Literally the opposite happened.
Mm-hmm.
They conceded more than anyone has ever conceded ever.
Yeah.
In MLS. But Nashville, I think, has at least got that portion right.
They have DP space. If they open up their bank account a little bit and make a decent nine.
Can they do that, though? I mean, I don't know their finances.
I mean presumably they have a billionaire, so.
Nissan doesn't seem like a super cheap stadium to be renting out.
No, it's definitely not inexpensive for them to be using that joint. I don't know. I mean, it's just, I think if they found themselves a striker, I think they could probably be a somewhat competitive side. I don't know that they would be a lock for the playoffs, but I think that's what all they're really missing, at least to be a competent team, at least in an expansion year. So, but they find themselves in the 0-2 hole as well, much like their Miami counterparts and FC Cincinnati, the last three expansion sides.
So the three newest teams, zero wins.
Yeah, well, you'll have that.
And
then we're watching LFC Portland at the moment.
1-1 at the half.
Carlos Vela with a nasty little free kick. Fun.
He'll do that.
Yeah. I captained him, so hopefully that'll help.
Yeah,
boost my rankings a little bit there.
Winners and wankers?
That's the part of the show we're at.
Okay.
Who's your winner?
My winner, it was just nice. Midweek. I don't know who didn't see this and got a little misty-eyed. Miguel Almiron scoring a goal in the FA Cup and celebrating by doing his portion of the celebration he used to do with Yosef.
Mm-hmm.
That
was cool.
That was pretty sweet.
The little over-the-head finger touch thing.
He did his half.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty special.
That was cool.
Hard to not, like, kind of get a little emotional of watching them. Like, oh, man.
Like, feeling for his dude. They did have a cool little relationship in Atlanta that year. It was a fun thing to watch. My winner this week, I went with Emerson Hinman. No, I'm just kidding. I went with another actual promising young U.S. starlet, and that's Gio Reyna. Declaring, hey guys, calm yourselves. I'm only interested in playing for the U.S. men's national team.
Was it England? Was England?
Supposedly England. I heard an interesting theory. I think this was from Patrick Goldan, who tweeted back at me about this.
Okay, that's a theory.
He was basically saying he thinks that story that Grant Wall wrote was essentially like the English camp basically saying like, hey, we're not going to likely get this guy, but we need to like kind of say that we've been making an effort for someone that could potentially be in our player
pool.
Could
be good.
And obviously, you know, with Jadon Sancho kind of coming to the fore and at Dortmund, there would probably be some eyes from the English press that would look at that and the English fan base. Would say, like, well, hey, why wouldn't we get this other guy that's at our
disposal? Now, what is the qualification of him getting
England? I think
Was he born there when
his
dad
was
playing for City?
Yeah. So, okay. He was born in the country.
Gotcha. Anchor baby.
You got to have those anchor babies every once in a while, right? But anyway, he squashed the rumors. He also had the potential to play for, I think it was Argentina and Portugal as well. But long story short, he came out in the German press and said, nope, I'm only interested in playing for the U.S. men's national team. And it seems extremely likely that he's getting the call up to this upcoming camp if FIFA doesn't have to cancel
everything
because of this
cancel life,
this stupid COVID-19.
Cool.
Yeah. So there are our winners. What about your wanker this week?
My wanker is just the somewhat absurdity of the COVID-19 precautions. They're precautions that make sense. Italy having a bit of an issue with COVID-19.
Like 130 people died in one day.
So, yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah, that is.
So they had to obviously do a lot more precautions.
Mm-hmm.
In the Premier League, they've told players to not shake hands. So I don't know if you watched any matches this weekend where they just walked past each other.
It was so weird. Like, what are they doing? Is this some new ritual? Like, if you didn't know that that was what was going on, it was kind of like, what?
You also saw, like, half the players didn't hold hands with their mascot as they walked out.
Mm-hmm.
Which, yeah, that's fine. Don't get kids sick. That's sure. good. These are, like, millionaire athletes that are monitored by physios.
Like, that paid constantly. Staff at the team that are paid to watch after their health.
I'm not saying precautions aren't great, but, mm-hmm. like, some of them just don't make sense. And having a bunch of millionaire athletes that have their health monitored,
mm-hmm.
like a hawk, not shaking hands with each other, I feel like that's one thing where, like, guys, I don't know how much that's going to do.
I mean, think of it this way.
Make sure those healthy people don't touch each other.
Well, I think it's more about, you know, I think a lot of these guys come from impoverished backgrounds and they move across the world and they bring their family with them, right?
I mean, I guess.
And I think this is kind of like the same argument that you hear a lot of people making is, like, you don't have to worry. Like, your kids, they may get the virus at school, but it doesn't really impact kids that strongly, right? So you're not necessarily worried about the kids. You're worried about who they would then expose themselves to that might be more at risk. But I hear your point. It is ridiculous that, like, these pro athletes aren't
shaking hands. I think these are guys that we have a pretty decent beat on how their health is.
Yeah. I mean, we definitely have a decent beat on what's going on there. Yeah, I mean, it's been some overreactions, but, you know, you look, and oddly enough, I picked coronavirus as my wanker this week. Mostly just because it is, I mean, you don't want to undersell the true human cost that this has all been.
That's why we have to, like, Klopp so that we could stop underselling.
Yeah, right, and listen to the experts, right? But, like, it is wreaking havoc within soccer.
Sure.
And, you know, today we watched literally one of the biggest matches in Italian soccer played behind closed doors. And it was super weird. I don't know if you tuned in to Inter Juve at all. But just hearing the echoes around the stadium of the players.
There was an amazing tweet about the fact that Serie A matches were being put behind closed doors.
Mm-hmm.
Someone retweeting the official statement and saying, Syria about to have their new record for matches without doing a racism.
I mean, it's it's so true. It's so true. But we don't know that some of the owners that were in the stands weren't probably doing some racism. Doesn't seem unlikely. But all that said, it's 100% accurate. But that's the thing now is they're talking about potentially postponing the Serie A season, which is – that's kind of nuts to think
about.
How
would that work, though? Because, I mean, with the Euros this year, like, there's not a huge
runway.
There
are a lot of windows.
There's not a huge runway to just push your season out into the summer.
I mean, I think you'd see some midweek matches that would pop into the equation.
I guess. You're going to start back in, like, April, mid-April, and just be running every 4 days.
I mean, that might be what we have to do. God. Like, for
– all right.
I mean, the
– do what you got to do.
The Players Association in Italy went on strike before this weekend's games and then went
because
back
of this
off
or
of,
just
– well, it was all because of this. Okay. They didn't want to be exposed to – the no people in the stadium, which is weird, but it's not just there that this virus is wreaking havoc. Obviously, Italy's kind of been at the forefront.
Did you see the video where Ronaldo was getting off the bus there at, and he was
high fiving
people that were there?
Was he actually high fiving?
No, there was no one there.
Yeah, so I was like, well, what is he doing?
Yeah, he was just doing fake high fiving, and then he looked at the camera and smirked.
Yeah, I mean, it's super weird. Liverpool reports have leaked out that they're actually concerned that they'll have to lift the trophy in front of no one. Like, if English games are go no fans.
What if they can't lift the trophy? Like, what if, like, hey guys, we don't want to be contaminating each other with this trophy. It'll be the most muted celebration. Like everyone
takes Lysol.
Everyone stands 5 feet away from each person. Put your arms out into a circle. If you're touching someone, you're too close.
You're way too close. Leave room for the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
But even here, we've seen it have an impact on soccer matches. Yeah. Seattle had a crowd of 33,000 against the Crew, which is their smallest since their expansion year in 2009.
Yeah. Again, a city that's, like, really dealing with
it. Yeah, I mean, it's a hot spot for sure. Right. And then San Jose had only, like, just over 12,000 people to their game, which is probably good.
I'm sure a lot of USL teams are claiming that that's why their attendance were the COVID-19, like, your attendance you don't was this way last
that's
year.
That's what Red Bulls, too. That's their problem, you know? There's an outbreak.
That's why there's only 12 people here.
Monmouth University, and that's why there's no one else there. So, take that coronavirus. You're a wanker this week.
Yeah, I guess that does it.
That does it for this week. Jeremy and I will sign off again by thanking you for stopping in. If you want to get a hold of him on Twitter, he's at Jeremy Lance. You can find me at Wrong Side of Pond. Hopefully neither one of us gets a virus between...
I mean, that'd be preferable.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get a cough.
I have a cough.
Got rid of that cough. Oh, damn it. Now we have it.
I'm just hanging on one.
Next show coming to you not coming to you from Gotham Soccer headquarters. It'll be coming from quarantine.
Self-quarantine.
That's right. See you guys soon.
Bye.
Oh my God, oh my God, this sequence has been insane, and he's letting it all play on.